أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا تداينتم بدين إلى أجل مسمى فاكتبوه We are approaching the final section of Surah Al-Baqarah. This is the longest verse in the entire Quran. It's over a page long. It's about financial dealings, which gives us a sense of how important this is in our deen and in mu'amalat, in the interpersonal dealings. This verse is preceded by two themes, quite lengthy ones, which we've been going over for some time now. The first of these, in order, is sadaqat. The second is riba. And the third, this one, is dayn. Let's look at these as best as we can. Sadaqat. This is giving charity. It's giving in the path of Allah. Giving in good causes. This is entirely khair, done with the right intention and in the proper manner. And it's what's appropriate from a decent person. It's how a person should behave with the wealth that Allah Azza wa Jal entrusts him with or her. So sadaqat, this is one category. Pure nur, pure khair. It's spending in the path of Allah, here and here. It's giving in good causes. It's a response to the compassion we are supposed to have for Allah's creation. The second category is riba, usury and interest. And this is the exact opposite, qabih. There's no khair in it. There's no barakah in it. There's no goodness in it. It's entirely haram, the giving of it and taking of it. So we learnt about sadaqat and we learnt about riba. And in this verse, we're learning about dayn. The word dayn in Arabic is not just a simple debt. We need to understand this a little bit with more clarity. See, in the word qard is used in Arabic, and that has a different sense. And in the Urdu language, the word qarz, qarza, is used to mean financial, when you borrow money. The word dayn is very aam, and it's very general. And what we mean by this is, dayn is when you owe somebody some money, and it could be in payment for something. It could be in payment for something you purchased. It could be in payment for a service that you took. Basically, even if a man owes his wife the mahar that he hasn't given her, he promised it on the day of the nikah in front of witnesses and then didn't give it. Anyone like that here? So, if she's forgiven you, fine. Otherwise, you do owe it. So basically, this is dayn as well. So there's lots of different types of dayn. It's when you owe somebody money, this is known as dayn. A debt, a payment which you owe. Do we understand? And this is relating to adl. It's relating to justice. Sadaqat are your choice except the zakat element. The sadaqatul fitr element, which is also known as zakatul fitr. Generally, sadaqat are your choice. You can choose to spend in the path of Allah. You can choose to spend a little or a lot. The more the better. Riba is completely haram. Neither is it permissible to take one penny of riba, nor is it permissible to give one penny of riba. It must be avoided completely. But when it comes to dayn, it's what we owe other people and we must pay it. This ayah talks about how to ensure that our financial dealings do not end up in arguments and disagreements. I mean, even this week, an individual contacted the masjid in tears because this person has been deprived of a payment of some 5,000-6,000 pounds, which has caused huge financial stress and problems in the family. And when they ask, the person who's meant to pay threatens them with lawsuits. So we have lots of situations where within our midst people need to know what's right and wrong and fear Allah. Okay, so let's go through this verse and let's go through the translation and let's try to take some of this honey with us, inshallah. Yes? This nur. Yes? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Do we consider ourselves believers? Yes. Absolutely. Yes? You know, it's a key. if you want the treasures of the Quran, when Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, then I must include myself. Allah's talking to me. It's not about other people. If our attitude is that these rulings are for others, then we deprive ourselves of the khair and of the knowledge. And if we consider ourselves to be the subjects, then we make a relationship with Allah through the Quran. And there's nothing more powerful than there's no connection and nisbat with Allah which is more powerful than that which comes through the word of Allah, the Quran. Yes? Yes? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. So I'm mentioning this and emphasizing it so that we listen carefully with our hearts to what's in this verse and the following one. And then, inshallah, we do amal on this. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O believers. إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّنٍ. When you give and take, when you have financial dealings amongst yourselves, بِدَيْنٍ, with a debt, إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّنٍ, with a fixed time, فَكْتُبُوا, then write it down. Because it's a longer verse, what I'll do is I'll explain it as I go through it, rather than going to and fro. Yes? So normally we translate the verse in full first and then... Okay, so basically... this is an instruction that you must write it down. An instruction can be because it's fard. You have to do it. It can be because it's wajib. It's mandatory, but it's not the level of fard. Yes? Subtle difference. Depending on how the word is used. Sometimes fard and wajib are used interchangeably. Sometimes wajib is used as being a little less than fard, but still necessary. Sometimes the instruction is because it's sunnah. And it's an emphatic sunnah, sunnah mu'akkada. Sometimes it's sunnah, but it's not mu'akkad. It's not emphasized in the same way, it's an optional. Sometimes it's mustahab and mandub, which is close to the sunnah ghair mu'akkada. Sometimes it's mubah. So we're told to do something because it's permissible. Allah Ta'ala says, by the way, we were just in Ramadan, yes? Kulu washrabu hatta yatabayyana lakum al-khayt al-abyadu min al-khayt al-aswadi min al-fajr. Eat and drink until you see the white stripe as distinct from the black stripe of Subh Sadiq. Eat and drink until. So from when you open the fast, the instruction is to eat and drink until Subh Sadiq. How many hours was that this Ramadan? Did you manage to eat and drink non-stop for 6-8 hours? It's an instruction. So what does the instruction mean? Are you understanding my point? No, no? Nisam Imala. Are we understanding? What am I saying? Give me an answer. Right, so Allah Ta'ala is saying eat and drink all night. What does that mean? Is it fard to eat and drink all night? No. So what does it mean? It means it's permissible to. You may do so. So one reason why an instruction is given is to show permission that you can do this. Yes? In another verse relating to Hajj, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا حَلَلْتُمْ فَاسْتَادُوا. When you take off your ihram and become halal, you're not in the restraints of the ihram, then you can hunt. If you're not in the haram, you can then hunt. فَاسْتَادُوا, the translation is then hunt. No one tells you that you have to hunt on the way back from Hajj. It means it's permissible. So sometimes amr, an instruction, is not just for wujub and as an imperative. It's because it's permissible. Sometimes it's for a reprimand as well. It's to tell someone off. And so go on, do it, and then you'll face the consequences. So basically, the point I'm making is there's a whole spectrum of emphasis. Sometimes you're told to do something because you have to do it. Sometimes you're told to do something because you're encouraged to do it. Sometimes you're told to do something because you may do it. And sometimes you're told to do something because you shouldn't do it, and it's a telling off. Yes? You know, have you ever... It's important that you understand what I'm saying. Give me some response. Yes? Yes? As a child, do you ever remember being told you're doing something naughty and... okay, so a child is climbing up onto something. Children like climbing up. We have a child up there now, just now. Huh? MashaAllah. On the balcony every week, MashaAllah. Right? So, children like climbing. And then a child falls. So what does the mother say? Told you not to do that. Go on then, do it again. It's a telling off. It's not an encouragement. Are we following? Yeah. Sometimes the instruction to do something is a reprimand. So in this ayat, فَكْتُبُوهُ, when you are doing a financial deal and you are going to owe somebody money, or they are going to owe you, فَكْتُبُوهُ, this instruction to write it down, is it fard or is it mustahab? What is it? Is it wajib? The jamhur of the mufassirun, the majority say that it's mustahab. It's preferred to do that. It's recommended. It's advised that you do this. And some fuqaha say, some ulama say, that it's actually wajib, you must do it. What type of dealing is this? So it's when you, I've already explained the meaning of dain. Look, let's explain this in another way. There are four situations. One situation is which, okay, we're talking about buying and selling. Yes? When you buy and sell something, one person gives the price and the other gives the product. Yes? Okay, so it's an exchange, isn't it? And there are four possibilities. Possibility number one is that I promise to buy from you a product and you promise to give it to me, but neither do you give me the product nor do I pay the price. And we promise this for a future date. Okay? This is one situation. So we've not made any exchange. This is not permissible bil ittifaq by any of the scholars. There's no difference of opinion here. You can't do this. You have to, for it to be a contract which is legible, you have to have either given them money or taken the product, or done both at the same time. Okay? And those are the remaining three scenarios. This is the first scenario. The second scenario is that you take the product and you are going to pay in future. This is permissible. Yes? On that agreement. There's an exception here. And for example, you can't do this with if you're buying and selling cash. It has to be in the same time. And you can't do this, for example, if you're buying and selling gold or silver. The payment has to be made straight away. You can't buy gold and silver on credit. Remember this ruling. The young ones were not married. Okay? And the adults as well. It's not permissible. It's a type of riba. You can't buy gold and silver on credit. If you must pay in installments, borrow money from somebody else in a halal way, pay off and then pay them off. That's a halal way of doing it. But otherwise, for generally, goods can be purchased in this way, and it happens all the time. You buy on credit, meaning you're going to pay later. Yes? That's permissible, as long as there's no interest. And the opposite is permissible too, where you pay in advance and the product is going to come later. But the conditions include a very clear understanding of what it is you're buying, its description, its quantity, etc. It can't be vague and abstract. And that ambiguity, the Sharia doesn't like it. The Sharia does not like ambiguity in dealings. And there are many people who are ambiguous in their dealings. I'll tell you what happens, and I'm sure you've experienced this. You talk to a laborer, and you say, okay, I want you to do this work for me. And he takes the job from you. He says, yeah, okay, inshallah, I'll look after you. And there's no clear understanding of what work he's going to do and how much he's going to be paid. This is the root of fasad and arguments. It's not correct to do agreements like this. Similarly, in a similar way, sometimes in shops as well, what happens is because he's keen to sell something to you, what does the seller do? He leads you to believe that you're going to get a good deal. I'll look after you. Take this. It's very good, mashallah. And then when you get to the till, he gives you a surprise. It's not the correct way. And you have the haq to withdraw in that situation. You should never be pressured into buying something. When you are buying something, it has to be black and white. This is what I'm buying, this mushaf, and this is how much I'll pay for it. This rahal, this stand, this is how much I'll pay for it. You cannot have abstract, vague agreements. You need to know what you're buying, and you need to know how much you're paying for it. So the third situation is you pay in advance, you should know exactly what you're going to get. Yes? By the way, online trade is, with all of its challenges and problems, one of the things that people do is they take the money from somebody and then they send them the wrong product because they don't have the right one, and then they won't take it back. This isn't permissible. You have to give them what you've promised them. There are other forms of online trade which are not permissible, and there are forms which are permissible. It's a separate discussion. We're not going through the entirety of this discussion right now. Yes? We're talking about tadayantum bidaynin, when you owe somebody money. And the fourth situation is that you take the product and pay the price at the same time. And of course, this is permissible. Yes? Yeah. Now, if you are going to be paying them later, then this, and you've taken the product, that's permissible. And if the money is given straight away and the product is going to be given later, then that's permissible as well, with the conditions attached. And this is known as bay'us salam. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says that this ayah is about this type of trade. Okay? So that's the opinion of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O believers, idha tadayantum bidaynin ila ajalin musamman faktubu, then write it down. It's mustahab to write it down according to the jamhur. And it will prevent all sorts of arguments and disagreements. And it will cause clarity. Faktubu. Wal yaktub baynakum katibun bil adl. And they should write for you, amongst you, a katib, a scribe, in a just way, with justice. Meaning, you should find somebody who can write for you, and that person who's employed to do this writing should do it properly, bil adl. These days, sometimes, such documents are written out by solicitors. Yes? Yes? And sometimes they're written out in shops. We have the technology to do that. This is an appropriate use of technology where you go into a shop and you are given an invoice. Okay? Shopkeepers who don't want to give you an invoice, there's something not right. If you want it, you should demand it. Yes? Okay? However, whose responsibility, primary responsibility, is it to write this document out? Wal yaktub baynakum katibun. We'll come to that. Wala yaba katibun an yaktuba kama allamahu Allahu falyaktub. And the scribe should not refuse to write the way Allah has taught him to write. Thus, he should write it down. So when a katib is engaged and employed for this purpose, he shouldn't refuse to do this. Wal yaktub baynakum wala yaba katibun an yaktuba kama allamahu Allahu falyaktub. Wal yumli lilladhi alayhi alhaq. And the one upon whom the obligation is should dictate it. Well, yumli lilladhi should make the dictation. Alayhi al-haq. Wal yattaqi Allaha rabbahu. And he should fear Allah his Rabb. Wala yabkhas minhu shay'a. And he shouldn't reduce this by anything. Meaning the amount. So now whose obligation is? If I owe you money, it's my responsibility to write it down. And there's a benefit here too. See, let's suppose I owe you some money and I don't pay it, and you claim that he owes me money. You have to prove it then, don't you? Does this make sense? Otherwise, in a court of law, it wouldn't have any weight. But if the person who owes the sum, if I owe the money and I write it down, this is an iqrar and confession from me. This is from the outset, I'm agreeing that I owe the money. So when I write it down, I'm already agreeing. So this is proof. And when the person who owes it does iqrar and confesses to his responsibility, then this will be better for everybody concerned, and you won't have to take the trouble of trying to prove the fact that I owe you money. وَلْيُمْلِ لِلَّذِي عَلَيْهِ الْحَقُّ وَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُ وَلَا يَبْخَسْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا فَإِنْ كَانَ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ الْحَقُّ سَفِيهًا أَوْ ضَعِيفًا. Then if the person upon whom the obligation of paying is a person who's a safi, a foolish person, أو ضعيفا, or an infirm person. Safi is a person who's not rationally going to make good judgments. And this can be for all sorts of reasons. A safi can be a person who doesn't have financial intelligence, and it can be a person who's a mubadhir, a person who squanders, who doesn't know how to spend. I mean, you give one person £100, a week later, where's the money? I've still got it. Yes? You give another person £100, he'll spend it wisely. You give a third person £100, he'll blow it on something silly. Yes? He won't think. There are many people like this. There are many men who will not fulfill their own needs or their family's needs, but whenever they get into a little bit of money, they'll blow it on something very foolish. فَإِنْ كَانَ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ الْحَقُّ سَفِيهًا أَوْ ضَعِيفًا. Or weak and infirm. Person's physically weak, they are infirm, they have some disability, they're not in a position, they are elderly, they are very young, they are not able to take responsibility for their own financial duties. فَإِنْ كَانَ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ الْحَقُّ. The person who owes the money, if he's a safi or a da'if, فَلْيُمْلِ لِلَّذِي عَلَيْهِ الْحَقُّ safiyan أَوْ da'ifan أَوْ لَا يَسْتَطِيعَ أَن يُمِلَّ. هُوَ. Or he's not able to, for one reason or another. He's not in a position to do that dictation. He's in prison, he's in hospital. Or it's a woman, and she doesn't have a mahram who could do it for her. Yes? All sorts of scenarios. لَا يَسْتَطِيعَ أَن يُمِلَّهُ فَلْيُمْلِ الْوَلِيُّهُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Then his guardian, who's responsible for his affairs, should do it justly. Somebody should take responsibility for that person to secure the other person's haqq. Remember, who's representing the safi, the da'if, and the one who can't dictate? The safi da'if, or the person who can't dictate, who are they? They're the person who owe the money, not who is owed to. Yes? Does this make sense? Right? So the implication, I'll give you an example. If you have a young son and he's going to do some business and you know he's not sensible, then you should record his responsibilities for him so that he knows that he owes money, or you know, and it's recorded so that when the time comes for payment, he'll remember. Yes? Okay. The shopkeeper who buys goods on credit, it happens all the time. And then people don't pay up. So this is a consequence sometimes of not keeping records. You can't keep everything in the head. A person's likely to forget. And when a person forgets, then he refuses. So, فَلْيُمْلِ الْوَلِيُّ بِالْعَدْلِ And it doesn't stop there. وَاسْتَشْهِدُوا شَهِيدَيْنِ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ And make a witness of two witnesses from your men. Yes? So when you make this document, so for example, I'm about to purchase this car from you and I'm going to pay you in 6 months or in installments, yes? Right? And it's a transaction worth several thousand pounds, so then I should ask uncle and brother, come over and just be a witness, and I owe this brother, and this is the date, and this is how much I owe, and this is when I'm due to pay it. Do you see? Now we have a clean situation. And now if I become corrupted because that money's coming to my hands and I want to use it for something else, then you will all have that case against me, yes? Your other priorities aside, you owe that money. I can't reject it. I can't deny it. It will prevent arguments and heartbreak, and it will prevent people's huquq from being unfulfilled. So, وَاسْتَشْهِدُوا شَهِدِينِ مِنْ رِجَالِهِمْ فَإِلَّمْ يَكُونَ رَجُلَيْنِ Then if there aren't two men, فَرَجُلٌ وَمْرَأَتَانِ Then a man and two women, مِمَّنْ تَرْضَوْنَ مِنَ الشُّهَدَاءِ From those who you are happy with as witnesses, أَنْ تَضِلَّ إِحْدَاهُمَا That if one of the two women forget, فَتُذَكِّرَ إِحْدَاهُمَ الْأُخْرَى Then the other woman can remind her. This section of the Qur'an is a source of contention for so many non-Muslims. And those Muslims who are weak in Iman find it objectionable as well. The simple truth is that as a mu'min, every single mu'min man and woman, every single mu'min man and woman on earth from the time of Adam till the day of Qiyamah believes that Allah is their Khaliq. Yes or no? Yes? It's a condition of Iman to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes or no? It's a condition of Iman to believe in the Qur'an. Yes or no? It's a condition of Iman to believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's also a condition of Iman to accept the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجْدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا And know by your Lord, Allah Ta'ala takes an oath, by your Lord, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يؤمنون. They are not believers, they cannot be believers. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ Until they make you a judge in their affairs. ثُمَّ لَا يَجْدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ And then they find no reservation, no restriction in their hearts from your judgment. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا And they submit absolutely. لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يَكُونَ هَوَاهُ تَبْعًا لِمَا جِئْتُ بِهِ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that none of you can be a believer until his desire is in subservience to that which with which I have come. We have to accept the deen in its entirety. And Allah azza wa jal in his wisdom knows the reasons for this instruction. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did say, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave men their muqam and status. And he gave women their muqam and status. And there was no ifrat and there was no tafreet, meaning there was no excess and there was no reduction of that status. The Prophet ﷺ reinstated women to the status that they deserved, and they were given honor and dignity through the teachings of Rasulullah ﷺ after having had a rough ride, not just in Arabia, be clear about this, but in Persia, in the Byzantine Empire, around the world. Look at the history of women. We're talking about the Middle Ages when clergy in Europe were discussing whether women are actually human beings or not, and whether they have an entitlement to any property. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Khadija radiallahu anha, is doing tijara even before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's bi'tha, and this right isn't taken away from her after bi'tha. It's not taken away from her. Women are given inheritance rights. The list goes on. So women are given, and women today, the feminist movement says that women should not be objectified. Islam said that 15 centuries ago. It's saying that today. The misrepresentation of the hijab and niqab, that this is a derogatory. The reality of the situation is, talk to 100 women who do hijab, niqab, and you'll find that at least 99 of them are doing it because they want to do it. You can't force a woman to wear a niqab. The girl on the street is not worried about that her mom and dad are watching her. If she doesn't want to wear it, she'll take it off. If she wears it from her door, she'll remove it on the bus to school if she doesn't have that haya inside her heart. Women who wear niqab wear it because they want to wear it and they feel dignified. They feel protected. So this is not something that men have imposed on women. This is something that women take upon themselves as an honor, and they see it that way. So a woman doesn't have to expose herself to have value in society. She's valued for her virtue. And so the point here is that the Prophet ﷺ and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined the muqam of the woman and the muqam of the man. And Allah ta'ala says in another verse of the Quran, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Neither men nor women should desire to take the role of the other. This is the Quran speaking. Yes? لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ. For men is their status. For men is that which they earn. For women is that which they earn. Their own amal will stay with them. And each has their muqam. And so, this particular ruling of shahada is coming explicitly from Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that's how it will is, and that's how it will remain till the day of Qiyamah. Any person who does not have iman on either this part of this verse or any part of any other verse is not a Muslim and cannot be a Muslim, is not a mu'min and cannot be a mu'min. A person who believes in the entire Quran, man or woman, is a Muslim and is a mu'min. And so we don't take our teachings from the changing trends and currents of TikTok and YouTube and artificial intelligence. Our deen is stable, more stable than a mountain. Mountains split and move in earthquakes. Mountains split open when water comes out of them. Mountains erupt through earthquakes. So mountains are not as stable as the heart of a mu'min, which is firmly rooted in the beliefs of the Quran. That heart can be broken up, it can be torn apart, but it cannot move from its iman. And Muslims need to understand this. And so Allah Ta'ala has given us this instruction. If you need to take this nisab of shahada, if you need testimony from you will take it from two men or one man and two women. مِمَّنْ تَرْضَوْنَ مِنَ الشُّهَدَاءِ أَن تَضِلَّ إِحْدَاهُمَا فَتُذَكِّرَ إِحْدَاهُمَا الْأُخْرَى وَلَا يَأْبَ الشُّهَدَاءُ إِذَا مَا دُعُوا. And the witnesses should not refuse to give testimony whenever they are called for it. So if you've been asked to be a witness when people are making a financial agreement and then later on you ask to come back and give testimony, you should give that testimony and you shouldn't refuse. وَلَا يَأْبَ الشُّهَدَاءُ إِذَا مَا دُعُوا وَلَا تَسْأَمُوا أَن تَكْتُبُوهُ صَغِيرًا أَوْ كَبِيرًا إِلَىٰ أَجَلِ. And don't ever tire and become weary of writing the contract down, be it small or large, to its time limit. Don't think that this is only £150 or £5 and 50 pence and I'm not going to write it down. If it's appropriate to write it down, you should write it down. Yes? Do you understand? Yes? وَلَا يَأْتَسْأَمُ أَن تَكْتُبُوا صَغِيرًا أَوْ كَبِيرًا إِلَىٰ أَجْلِ ذَلِكَ. ذَلِكُمْ أَقْسَطُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. That's more just with Allah. وَأَقْوَمُ لِلشَّهَادَةِ. And more upright for testimony. وَأَدْنَا أَلَّا تَرْتَابُ. And closer than from that you become doubtful. So if you write this down, it's less likely there's going to be any doubts in the affair. And more likely that everything will happen appropriately. Yes? With confidence. أَلَّا تَرْتَابُ جِ. إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً. He's an exception. إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً حَاضِرَةً تُدِيرُونَهَا بَيْنَكُمْ. Except that it's a trade which is done in real time, on the spot, there in front of you. حَاضِرَةً تُدِيرُونَهَا بَيْنَكُمْ. You give and take it amongst yourselves. So here's the product and here's the money. Then you don't need to write it down. فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تَكْتُبُوهَا. Yes? So there's no sin upon you that you don't write it. In that situation, there's no harm. فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تَكْتُبُوهَا. أَشْهِدُوا إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ. when you do mutual trade, then have witnesses. In other words, it's being encouraged. Have witnesses when you buy and sell. وَأَشْهِدُوا إِذَا تَبَاعَيْتُمْ وَلَا يُضَارَّ كَاتِبٌ لَا يُضَارَّ لَا يُضَارَّ كَاتِبٌ وَلَا شَهِيدٌ. No wow. There is, isn't there? وَلَا يُضَارَّ كَاتِبٌ وَلَا شَهِيدٌ. And the katib and the shaheed, the scribe and the witness should not be harmed. So what, you don't go and try to blackmail the witness. You know I owe that person $50,000. But don't you dare go to court. Otherwise, you know? So, وَلَا يُضَارَّ كَاتِبٌ. The scribe who wrote it down and the witness, neither should ever be harmed. Allah Ta'ala is prohibiting this. وَلَا يُضَارَّ كَاتِبٌ وَلَا شَهِيدٌ. جِي. وَإِنْ تَفْعَلُوا فَإِنَّهُ فُسُوقٌ بِكُمْ. And if you do this, then this is your sin. This is your fusuq and disobedience. This is something which will make you sinful. فَإِنَّهُ فُسُوقٌ بِكُمْ. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And fear Allah. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. And Allah educates you. Allah guides you. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. جِي. وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. And Allah knows everything. This is one ayat finished. وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ وَلَنْ تَجِدُوا كَاتِبًا. And if you are traveling, you're on a journey, and you don't have a scribe, وَلَنْ تَجِدُوا كَاتِبًا فَرِهَانٌ مَقْبُوضًا. Then Allah Ta'ala gives us another way. Then a security taken. What does this mean? So I'm loaning you £10,000, and there's no one to make documents, so you can give me your Rolex watch. Okay? Your smartwatch, or whatever it is. Yes? And I will hold that in security until you pay back. And if you don't, I'll sell it and make up the money. And if there's any change, I'll give it to you. And if there isn't, you make up the difference. That's how it works. Yes? The whole chapter in Buyu on Rihan. It's called Girvi Kehte Hain. But this is a security. So, Farihanum Maqbooda. So sometimes this will happen. Okay, you want to borrow £10,000? You can park your car in my garage. This is a proper way of doing business as well. Yes? So if you're traveling, you can do it when you're not traveling as well. But when you're traveling, you may not have the means of the office. The Mufassirun say, that's why traveling is specifically mentioned, but it doesn't have to be when you're traveling. فَرِهَانُ مَقْبُوذَ فَإِنَّ مِنَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Then if some of you entrust another, فَإِنَّ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا فَلْيُؤَدِّ الَّذِي تُمِنَ أَمَانَتَهُ. Then the one who's been given the trust should give it back. وَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُ وَلَا يَبْخَسْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. Wait. فَإِنْ أَمِنَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا فَلْيُؤَدِّ الَّذِي تُمِنَ أَمَانَتَهُ وَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ. And he should fear Allah, جي. رَبَّهُ, his Lord, and وَلَا تَكْتُمُ الشَّهَادَةِ. Now this is not just applying to trade. Remember this rule we're going to learn now. We're just finishing these verses off. وَلَا تَكْتُمُ الشَّهَادَةِ. And don't conceal the testimony. If you need to stand up for someone's rights and you're a witness, then you should do so. You know, some people, they think it's dignified to keep out of, just to keep out of trouble and controversy. The Quran even says in another place, even if it's your own parents. This is a problem in our society. You know, people will speak lies in court because it's my son, my brother, my dad. Yes. This is haram. It's un-Islamic. It's unethical by any standards. It does not matter who it is. You do not stand up for someone who's in the wrong in any situation. These relationships fade into insignificance when it's a matter of haqq and batil. Yes? So it does not matter if it's my dad or my son or my brother. If he's in the wrong and you are in the right, I should stand up for you. وَلَا تَكْتُمُ الشَّهَادَةَ. But this ayat is general. If you're a witness, some people think it's dignified not to get into other people's affairs. Normally this is dignified. But in situations where your testimony will make the difference between that person getting their haqq, it's your obligation. وَلَا تَكْتُمُ الشَّهَادَةَ. Don't conceal the testimony. In fact, in other words, don't conceal the fact that you're a witness to that. وَلَا تَكْتُمُ الشَّهَادَةَ. And Allah Ta'ala, look at the next bit. وَمَنْ يَكْتُمْهَا فَإِنَّهُ آثِمٌ قَلْبُ. And whoever conceals the testimony, then his heart is sinful. The Mufassirun say, because the heart is the seat of that testimony. It's your heart that has that knowledge which you're concealing. The concealing of the heart, of that knowledge, will make the heart sinful. وَلَا تَكْتُمُ الشَّهَادَةَ وَمَنْ يَكْتُمَا فَإِنَّهُ آثِمٌ قَلْبُ. جي. Okay. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. And Allah knows what you are doing. So if this ayat does not hold us by the shoulders and give us a good shake and change our view forever of how we do our dealings and business, then we deserve every financial problem that comes to us when people shortchange us. When we end up not fulfilling other people's huquq and others don't fulfill ours, the Quran has said it in black and white. This is the appropriate way. If anybody comes to you, and you can use this approach when people want to take halal loans from you. Someone comes to you and says, brother, I'm investing in this business, buying something, this family wedding, can you loan me £5,000-7,000? And you say, yeah. And you take out a piece of paper and let's write it down. You say, you don't trust me. We're brothers, I've known you for 10 years. Then you need to explain that this is the teaching of the Quran and Sunnah. And if he has a problem with that, then you can say, sorry mate, I can't loan you the money. So it's very appropriate to do it like this. And that way there's no arguments, there's no disagreements. Yes? Do we understand? So we should record our dealings. Really the obligation is on the person who owes the other person. So if I owe somebody money, I should write it down. It's not their duty, it's mine. And I should take this on my shoulders. And where appropriate and where necessary, I should follow these teachings and ensure that there is someone who's capable of writing. Sometimes a person is not confident, they don't know the wording. So it comes into that safihan or da'ifan. If you're not confident in making up a financial document, ask somebody to do it for you who can. And then have witnesses, get them to sign, put the date on. So then there'll be no conflict, there'll be no disagreement afterwards, and everybody will be looked after. Everyone's rights will be looked after. And by the way, such a document prepared in your own house, living room, office, on the back of an envelope is acceptable in court as well. Remember this, in any country of the world. Because it's a proof of the event that took place. Does this make sense? Yes? Okay, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. If Allah wills, then we'll have the final dars of this surah in the next session. In the meantime, wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem.